general manager of the Calgary Flames, Jay Feaster, who joins us on the show. Jay, how you doing?
I'm just great, guys. How's it going?
Great. I know this is not an easy day for you. Anytime you have to reassign players, it's always kind of tough, but walk us through how the day went.
Yeah, the guys that we talked to today, we made 14 roster moves today. They were very, very good. One of the things that I've always believed in, and I did this in Tampa, I think it's important that we be honest with these guys. And, you know, I've been in other places where, you know, there's a lot of looking at your shoes, and you tell the guy, go work hard, and you'll be back here. And we try to be a lot more specific than that. We try to explain to them what they have to work on in their game, why they're not staying, why they're being sent out or sent back, and, you know, try to let them know exactly what deficiencies are in their game at this time. And the guys were very good. The big takeaway from this group, because as you go along, it gets harder with each group, right? It's this group and then the next round of cuts. They're the difficult ones because they're guys that either are knocking on the door or certainly are going to be your first recall players as you need guys from the minors. But one of the things we try to impress upon the guys today, Brent and I, is that if you just look and compare for the guys who were here last year, compare this training camp to last year, we are a deeper organization. There is more talent. There's more skill. There's more competition. And so even as it relates to guys going into Abbotsford, there are some pretty good battles that are going to be waged at the AHL level. And so it's important that as guys are sent down, they understand they can't afford to wait a week and then decide to get engaged in what's going on in Abbotsford. They need to hit the ground running because there's more evaluation taking place there. And the last thing you want are guys who are on their entry-level deals who are eligible to be assigned to the ECHL that all of a sudden, come the beginning of October, are going to find themselves without a spot in Abbotsford and be asked to go to Utah. So it's a difficult day. I said if you ever get good at it or if you ever enjoy it, there's something wrong with you as a human being. But again, I do believe that to a man, the guys appreciate the honesty and the candor.
Flames general manager Jay Feaster joining us on the Subway Restaurants Fresh Take Hotline. Okay, so there's 12 guys assigned to Abbotsford. I'm kind of curious about the two going back to junior. These are two great kids, and these guys are just, there's so much ahead of them. How did they take the news today, Jay?
Yeah, you know what? They were both good. We had a great conversation with both of them. It was fun. We got quite a few smiles and laughs out of Sven Berchi, and you know, clearly they're disappointed in that. I think in a perfect world for Sven, you know, he understands the areas of his game that he has to work on. He's a pretty good guy in terms of self-evaluation. But I think in a perfect world, he would have liked it if he could have played a couple of regular season games. And, you know, as we evaluate things right now, we think it's important for him to go back to junior and get his junior season started and focus, quite honestly, on the World Championships because we know that he's going to be an important part of that team, probably be the captain of his team at the World Champion, the World Juniors. And with Max, I mean, as we told Max, it's just unfortunate that the rules are what they are because he's a guy who, if he didn't have to go back to junior, you know, he's a guy who could go into the American Hockey League right now, in my mind, and be an impact player. And what we said to him was, go back and get your season started there in Kootenay. And what we hope he does is that he maintains the level that he was at here so that he puts Hockey Canada in a tough spot and that they have to take him for the World Juniors as well. We'd like to see him playing for Team Canada come December and January.
Hey, Jay, it's Pat Steinberg. When talking about both Sven and Max, I know that a lot of people were hoping that they might be able to crack the roster and maybe get 9 games in to start the regular season, but how much value is there in your mind to go back there right at the beginning of the Western Hockey League season and get pretty much that whole season in?
It is important. I mean, we want those guys, we told them both this, that we want those guys to go back there and dominate. You know, we want them to be dominant players, and as I said with Max, you know, we want him to make life tough on Hockey Canada as far as their decision making, and you know, the same thing with Sven, that get back there and start playing and get the quality minutes and be used in every situation.
I know that TJ Brody was a guy that started the season last year on the Calgary Flames roster. What did you see from him throughout training camp?
Well, I thought TJ struggled in Penticton, but I thought he got better every day as camp went on. And excuse me, it's been a long day and a lot of talking.
Yeah, I bet.
I bet.
But I really did. I thought that he got better every day and that he did some really good things. And unfortunately, when you look at the depth that we have right now organizationally, we feel that there are guys that are ahead of him. And so the best thing for him is to get back there and again, get back in the mix in Abbotsford and get his foundation under him. And that's what we told him today.
Jay Feaster joining us on the phone this afternoon. Have you liked the way camp's gone? You know, fans get so wound up in wins and losses and preseason games and everything. But what's your assessment to this point so far, Jay?
Yeah, you know what? I mean, it's I think probably my 15-year-old daughter had it summed up best last night when I walked in the door and I was all sour and miserable and because we lost. And she said, "You went 7-0 last year and you missed the playoffs." So her point is that being 1-3 right now, that this is probably a good omen. You know, let's face it, we want to win every time we go out. We want to win every game we play, and yet in the preseason, that's not necessarily what it's all about. With the exception of, the only thing that troubles me, I mean, obviously because of injuries, we haven't been able to look at the entire group together yet, and so that's been less than ideal. We, you know, in a perfect world, at least with these last two preseason games, you'd love to have the entire group together. And then, again, the fact that the veterans get pretty bored with it, and you know, I just think our intensity is lagging a little bit right now.
Jay, it's interesting because Brent Sutter was asked that question yesterday about what the value of the preseason and the training camp is. You went 7-0 last year, and it didn't necessarily translate to the start that you wanted. What is the most important thing when you're watching these preseason games in your mind?
Well, you want to evaluate, you know, you have a pretty good sense of what your veterans can do. But you want to be evaluating what the guys that are pushing can do. You know, is there someone who's pushing that can make your hockey club? And can one of these kids displace one of the veteran players? And, you know, like a guy like Nick Hagman, the way he's approached it, that rather than looking at himself as a veteran and deciding he already has a spot, you know, he's trying to make the hockey team. And so those are the things that you want to see. And, you know, really, the veterans want to get through without getting hurt, but it's to see the push from the kids and to see which kids, as the competition gets better and as more veterans play on other teams, which ones can step up.
Jay, there's so much conversation around town about the situation with Jerome and the back spasms and that kind of thing. You know, what's your take on all of this?
Yeah, you know what, Jerome, I mean, it's unfortunately because of the way Jerome is, he's such a competitor and he's such a team guy. He wants to be out there, and so he started to feel a little bit better last week. And, of course, what he does is that I'm feeling a little better. I'm not quite ready to skate, but I'm going to do a punishing off-ice workout. And, you know, he got a little bit of a setback as a result of that. And the thing that we've tried to convince him of, and we had this conversation with him, is we don't want you doing those things until you're 100%. And he was feeling better today. I'm not sure whether we'll see him skate tomorrow, with it being the, you know, a game day for us. But certainly we would think that he'll be on the ice on Wednesday. And, you know, I know there are the conspiracy theorists out there that we must be hiding something and it must be worse. But, I mean, truly, it's just a matter of, you know, it has tightened up on him, and he's having some spasm with it, and we just have to wait until that settles down and he's ready to go. At this point in time, you know, again, I think he'll be skating by midweek, and I don't have any concern about him being able to start the regular season.
Two guys that have kind of starting to draw some buzz so far in camp, and one was mentioned by name last night, and that is the player that you acquired from the New York Rangers in the Tim Erickson deal. What have you made of Roman Horak's preseason and training camp to this point?
Yeah, it's pretty exciting. You know, he has been a very, very pleasant surprise from the standpoint that our guys felt strongly at the time that whole thing went down that he was a guy who eventually would play in the National Hockey League and play probably as a third-line guy, play in your top nine. I think what we've seen from him thus far, both in Penticton and now, you know, here in main camp and in preseason games, is that he's actually, you know, showing some skill that maybe there's an upside there that he could actually fill in on a second line situation. So he has turned heads. He's been impressive, and we're anxious to continue to monitor him as we go along. I mean, that's, you know, credit to him that he's still here after this round of cuts.
And that Jordan Henry deal you made in the offseason kind of flew under the radar, and yet he's still here and seems to very much be knocking on the door for maybe a top six role.
Yeah, he's played well. And we, you know, what's interesting about him is that, I mean, obviously our guys knew him and knew what kind of a player he was, but I think it was an advantage for us in that he trains here in Calgary in the off season, and for years now he's been training with our strength conditioning coach, Rich Hesketh. So, you know, Rich obviously has a little bit of insight into his personality and into how he works and how he trains, and so that's one that we were, you know, we were very pleased to be able to pick him up. And the same thing with him. We have two blue liners that are on the shelf right now in Sarich and Brett Carson, and so you know, both Jordan Henry is still with us, and then so too is Derek Smith. We think Smitty's done a good job so far.
And that kind of plays into the next one. Any injury updates on guys like Sarich and Carson, Jackman and Backlund at this point?
Yeah, the guys with the groin injuries, Backlund and Jackman, and even Morrison, who had tweaked his a little bit. You know, those guys are getting better and are progressing nicely. No major concerns going on with them. As far as Corey Sarich, he's actually been cleared to practice now. So we'll take that yellow jersey, we'll take the Tour de France jersey off of him, and he can get back in and start going full contact. So that's good news. And like I said, I expect Jerome will skate by midweek. So slowly but surely, Kars is probably you know, still a little bit away as far as his back. That's a different situation than Jerome. So really, I think that probably here by the end of the week, assuming, and I'll touch wood when I say it, assuming nothing further happens on the injury front, that those guys, with the exception of Carson, should be good to go by the end of the week.
Jay, one more quick question. We'll let you get to some throat lozenges so you can shake that cough. just kind of curious, there's an eight to nine-day break here after the final preseason game before the kickoff against Pittsburgh. How do you view that? Some people are wondering whether or not that's too long a break, but how, what's your take on that, and is that what you wanted right from the get-go?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. I mean, we had looked at a couple of different scenarios as to things we might have done as far as preseason and team bonding and in terms of putting together our preseason schedule. What we will do with that break is that we will actually do something. We'll get away as a team. Once we get down to our numbers, we'll take a couple of days and, you know, probably leave town and do some team building exercises and practicing as well. I actually think that it's a good thing with a team like ours that a little bit more of a veteran team. We do have some guys that are a little banged up already through the preseason. So I think the rest will be a good thing for us. And, you know, I have so much confidence in Brent and his coaching staff that, you know, he's going to have these guys ready to go. So as we look at it, I'm not overly concerned about the break until we start the regular season.